Joshua chapter 10. Adonai Zedek, who was king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had totally destroyed Ai and killed the king of Ai, just like he did to Jericho and the king of Jericho. And he heard that the people of Gibeon had made peace with the Israelites and were now living with them. So the people of Jerusalem were very fearful because Gibeon was seen as a very great city, larger than Ai, and its men were known as brave fighters. So Adonai Zedek sent a message to Hoham of Hebron, Piram of Jarmuth, Japhia of Lachish, and Debir of Eglon. He said, "Come, join with me to attack Gibeon, because Gibeon has made peace with the Israelites." So those five kings of the Amorites joined together and came and surrounded the city of Gibeon and attacked it. And the men of Gibeon sent a message to Joshua, who was in the camp at Gilgal. "Don't leave us, don't abandon us. Please come immediately and save us, because all the kings of the Amorites have joined their forces to attack us." Now, of course, Joshua could have thought, "Well, you guys lied to us. Yeah, I'm not particularly motivated to go and help you." But he does. And because he does the right thing to help those who it might seem were not worthy of help, God gave him a victory, which meant that the whole five kings of the Amorites were destroyed, which made Israel's position even stronger in Canaan. So if you do the right thing, helping those who you might be tempted to think don't need to be helped or don't deserve to be helped, it actually is greatly blessed by God. So Joshua and all the army and the men of war left the camp at Gilgal, and Yahweh said to Joshua, "Don't fear them. I have already given you the victory." Now, this is what we have to believe, that all the obstacles to us entering God's kingdom have already been defeated. Jesus died on the cross and killed the devil. That is the power of sin. And so God said, "Not one of these kings will be able to stand against you." So Joshua and his men marched all night from Gilgal to Gibeon and made a surprise attack on these Amorite kings. Yahweh made the Amorites have a panic when they saw Israel's army. The Israelites killed many of them at Gibeon and chased them down the mountain pass at Beth Horon as far as Azekah and Makeda. As the Amorites were running down the pass from the Israelites who were chasing them, Yahweh made huge hailstones to fall down upon them as they fled down the way to Azekah, and more were killed by hailstones than were killed by the Israelite soldiers. So you see, God did that to show that he was the one who was going to bring the victory. So on that day, on the very day that Yahweh gave the Israelites this great victory over the Amorites, Joshua spoke to Yahweh, and he said, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon, stop over the valley of Aijalon." The sun stood still and the moon didn't move until the Israelites had conquered their enemies. This is also recorded in the book of Jashar. The sun stood still in the midst of the sky, did not go down for a whole day. Never before and never since was there a day like it when Yahweh obeyed the voice of a man. Yahweh fought on the side of Israel. After this, Joshua and his army returned to the camp at Gilgal. So you see, they were winning such a great victory, and they needed to finish off the victory, and they just didn't have enough time in the day. So God gave them more time. And Joshua had the spiritual ambition to ask God for a long day. Now, quite how we're to understand this, I don't know exactly, but what is clear is that God did a great miracle. Just like in the time of Hezekiah, God made the shadow on the sundial to go back by 10 degrees to show that he was giving more time, more life, 15 years more life to Hezekiah. So you've got to have ambition to ask God for that which seems so difficult and so impossible. And he will give you the resources that you need if you have the ambition to ask. Now, it seems to me that if Joshua hadn't asked, well, he wouldn't have received this. God wouldn't have just made it happen. And as it says here, there was never a day like it when God listened to or obeyed the voice of a human being. So the God who is so far away from us, huge distance away from our tiny little planet Earth in this tiny little universe we're in, he listened to the voice of a man. You get the same idea in Revelation, where the believers pray and their prayer is like perfume, incense going up to God, and then God does huge things. Bowls of God's judgments are poured out from heaven upon the earth because people pray to him. So this is how sensitive God is to prayer. That's why we got to be very serious in our attitude to prayer. And that's why we should take it seriously and not just rattle off the same words, but realize that God is actually listening to our words, that the voice of a man is heard by God there in heaven. And it's even better for us because we have Jesus at the right hand of God, who is also praying to God, interceding for us. Well, the five kings of the Amorites managed to escape and hid in a cave in Machedar, but they were discovered, and Joshua was told that they were hiding. He said, "Roll huge stones in front of the entrance to the cave. Place guards there. But let's keep on chasing the enemy and attack them from behind, so that they don't return into their cities. Yahweh your God has given you victory over them." Well, God told them that even before they started the fight. So Joshua and the men of Israel slaughtered their enemies. Then all of Joshua's men returned to the camp at Machedar. Nobody in the land dared to say anything against the Israelites. Then Joshua said, "Open that cave entrance and bring out those five kings to me." So the cave was opened and the kings were led out. The king of Jerusalem, king of Hebron, king of Jarmuth, king of Lachish, king of Eglon. And they were brought to Joshua. Joshua then called the Israelites to him and ordered the officers who had gone with him to the war to come and put their feet on the necks of the kings, and they did that. Joshua said to his officers, "Do not fear nor be dismayed, but rather instead be confident and be determined. This is what Yahweh is going to do to all your enemies." Then Joshua killed the kings and hanged them up on five trees where their bodies stayed until the sun went down. And at sunset, Joshua ordered that the bodies should be taken down and thrown into that cave where they'd taken refuge before. And again, large stones were placed at the entrance to the cave, which are there unto this day. So Joshua conquered the whole land. He defeated the kings in all the various areas, the hill country, the hills to the west, the slopes to the east, and also in the Negev, the desert area in the south. This was what Yahweh, God of Israel, had given him. Joshua conquered all these kings in this great campaign because Yahweh, the God of Israel, fought for Israel. Now Joshua is like Jesus. His name means Jesus. And so what it sort of looks forward to is how Jesus has won all the battles. But there we are with our battles against this person at school, that person at work, this problem we have, those people over there, this issue I have. All these things have been dealt with, but we have to have the faith that already he's won the victory.